Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to our Bravo episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling, Kate. This is the time of the week that we dive headfirst into our Bravo shows. Kate and I's podcast, Tender Loving Care, which is available on all podcasting platforms, has a new episode each Tuesday. In that episode, we break down the current airing 90 Day Fiancé franchise. And on Wednesday, we have our Wheel of Shame episode in which we pick a show from the TLC or Discovery Plus network, past or present, and deep dive the insanity of these reality shows. But on a Friday, we concentrate on our Bravo shows. So what is currently airing, we're on a Housewives drought, but we do have VPR and The Valley. So let's get into it. Hi, guys. Hi. Oh, first of all, I want to say a big thank you. I want to say a big old thank you to all of you. Just for really for the support. You know, I have, as I always say, Instagram is Tender Loving Care Podcast. And, you know, I run the Instagram, I run our social media, and I see every single DM that you send, and I respond to every single DM that you send. And I love being able to speak to you all. It makes me really, really happy to connect with you. And so many of you write to us, and I just want to say thank you, because it shows that, you know, there are people out there in the abyss listening to this show. And it just, yeah, I just wanted to say a thank you to start the show off with something positive, you know, before I completely tear the majority of these people we're going to talk about apart. So, you know, start in the light, guys, start in the light. So I wanted to start off with a big thank you, because it's amazing and you're amazing and I appreciate it. Housekeeping, just trying to think if there's anything. We have a new Patreon that is coming out later on today, Friday, in which we are covering the Natalie Holloway documentary, The Disappearance of Natalie Holloway, which is available on Peacock to watch. Obviously, we have a new introduction of Gossesh, which has popped up a couple of times now in your feed. That's just when I pop on the mic and talk about current goings on in the Bravo world, because there always seems to be some kind of shit show that needs to be spoken about before we can get to a new episode. So let's get into it. I have been posting a little bit about The Valley and VPR already before I recorded this, but let's just talk about VPR this week. As I said in Gossesh, and as I have on our Instagram, there it really is a lot of rumours, and I think confirmation now that the reunion for Vanderpump Rules has taken place, and in it was a friendship ender for Lala and Ariana. So I think that Lala went on something and pretty much confirmed that. So I think it's very, very interesting and not really surprising that people are turning against Ariana. We start this episode 8, season 11 of VPR, Peaks and Valleys. They start this kind of like all the same, you know, you go into their houses, see what they're all doing, and you see Sheena, Schwartz, and Spooky Joe, James and Ali. And I would like to say thank you to the editors this week, because they showed James and Ali in their house, but they did not feature a plane going by, which they seem to want to dig at James and Ali every single time because they live near Burbank Airport. So editors, thank you for that one. Ariana is in the house with, she's FaceTiming Katie, and we see the Tom has had that. He's going to plan for this pool party. Listen, Tom, Sandoval, I don't know why I'm calling Tom. It's weird to call him Tom. Sandoval, there's obviously a lot wrong with him. But I think the thing that is getting to me the most at the moment is the necklace. These little, like, plastic charm necklace beads he's wearing. I don't know where to go with any of it, to be honest. It's exhausting to watch. My eyes are exhausted looking at Sandoval's face. That's really what it is. The plastic bead necklace, the pride he takes in wearing nail polish is like, okay, whatever, dude, you know. And then can we talk about the people that turned up at the pool party? Guys, I have never seen such a group of horror shows than the people that were at that party. I mean, it was as though they went out onto Magnolia Boulevard. Yes, that's near where they live. And said, hey, can you just come in for like half an hour to film something? And they did. And it was painful to watch. We see Katie meets up with Lala in between this. And of course, they had a good old fashioned fight at Ali's house the previous episode. And can someone explain to me, like, they're sat there, they're going through like what happened, and you know, we both hit below the belt, you know, the usual housewife kind of stuff that's used. And Lala's in a confessional and she's saying, you know, Katie was my ride or die. And Katie was did I miss something? I don't remember Katie and Lala being that close at all. I'm trying to think about it now. I mean, I can guarantee they're not that close now. But I just can't remember them being ride or die. And Lala's like, yep, she was. And now look at us. And I'm thinking, okay. They kind of get into why they had the argument. And, you know, Katie thinking that Lala's always has to be one bigger, one better. And that's what she's doing with Ariana's case with Randall. But like I said from the beginning, and I know Lala is incredibly polarizing. And I've had my seasons where I'm just like, calm down. This whole gangster, hard girl stuff is annoying. But I think I will always fall on the side of, she had a child with this monster ex, and what she's been through, nobody really has time for. And a lot of you have said, I posted some stuff about it on Instagram, and a lot of you have said, you know what, she treated people badly and this is her karma. They won't give her enough time. And I think you could be right about that. You could be right. They just don't want to give that time to her. But she has been through hell and will continue to go through with that. Oh, that horrible Randall, her ex. But in the end, they decide that they're all good and they're friends again, which I don't buy. I don't think they're friends right now at all. We go back to the pool party, and of course, guess who's there? Billie Lee. And if anyone has turned me against themselves, when I would never surprise it was when I would never believe it was Billie Lee. Billie Lee first came on the scene on VPR, and I think we can all say we loved her. You know, she was a breath of fresh. She was representing, you know, the trans community. And it was nice to see her there. It was nice to just get another perspective. And she seemed funny and she was up for, you know, partying, and everyone really liked her vibe. And she, ever since this broke with Scandival, she could not get her face in front of the camera more if she tried, and was just all about supporting Tom immediately. No, we don't need that, Billie. We really don't. And that was painful to see Billie Lee doing that. And then she's at this pool party, and I don't know what she feels about Sandoval, really. I mean, in it, she's all about, you know, what amazing person he is, and she'll stick by him and how much she loves him and all of this. But I don't get it. I don't get their friendship at all. And then she says, have you seen my girlfriend? And I thought she was saying her girlfriend as her romantic girlfriend, but she meant her friend Ty, or T, I think it is, who we know ends up in the front of the Daily Mail and Page Six as Sandoval's like girl he dated for a little bit. So she's at the pool party, and then we see Anne. That Anne is out there serving shots to these horror shows in the pool. And it's when there's so many cringy moments of this Sandoval in the pool. I think the worst is how how he unintentionally fills every stereotype of just this loser older guy trying to chat up young girls. And these two young girls that couldn't, I don't think they said two words, were there. And when he said, everything was making me cringe, but the worst was when he says, have you guys been to Burning Man? I was done. Guys, if you're not familiar with the stereotype of what the people that go to Burning Man and only talk about Burning Man is, please go and Google Burning Man. These posers, that there are people that go to Burning Man and have for a really long time, and it's a very big community, and there's an essence of it that's about art and relationships and reinventing yourself, and you know, there's so much really beautiful things that happen. And then there's Tom Sandoval, and people like Tom Sandoval who want to go to Burning Man, who know zero about it. They're the people that go to Coachella, like, now, you know, that go for like the parties and to be seen. And he wants to go to Coachella so he can dress up in glitter and whatever he wants, fine. But he's not going to go and experience Burning Man. He's going to say he went to Burning Man. That's the only reason he's going. He has no clue that you're in the middle of the bloody desert in boiling weather with, you have to bring everything from toilet paper to water. You have to dig holes and shit in it most of the time. All this stuff that they have no clue about, that they think, oh my God, I'm just going to take shrooms and my whole life is going to change. That's who Sandoval is when they talk about Burning Man. And I know several people that do that and talk about Burning Man like that. They have no clue and it is just painful. And when he said that, I wanted to fly around the earth, reverse the time so I could drive over to his house and punch him in the face. Like, he is too much physical pain I had. Physical pain watching that scene. And then the next day, you know, Anne is doing all the housekeeping from that shit show that Sandoval left the house in. And, you know, I've told you guys, remember, I didn't have Goss Sesh at that point, but I did say on the pod, it was about maybe 6-7 months ago that I met the friend of, the best friend of, as I knew her then, Tom's assistant. And this was Anne. And this was before the whole world knew about Anne. I met her best friend, who told me, and I said a lot of it on the pod, she gave me some inside information, and said that Scandival was like the worst week of her life, that this guy, Tom, is obviously the worst boss, which we know now, but there'll be day, you know, she, see, I do have some information about how she gets paid, but I just don't know if I could actually really say that, but just, let's just say that there are days that she turned up to work and he was lying on the sofa going, I'm too stressed, I can't even do anything today, you have to go home, and she didn't get paid for it. That's what Anne has to deal with. So what you're seeing on this is a quarter of what she has to deal with, because this friend told me a lot about Anne. Anyway, and then we have Sheena comes over to talk to Ariana, and they kind of go over the Dancing with the Stars thing, which is like, okay. And Ariana's so out of it. I think VPR, and I know I'm a broken record, but it's hard to watch because the majority of the cast members are out already. They don't want to be doing the show. They're there. They're talking about the same things. Ariana's out at this point already. And Sheena is, this is her paycheck. And she is desperately trying to keep on some drama. And she's just like, Ariana's like, okay, well, it was basically, I'm sorry you felt that way. That was that whole conversation, really. And then, of course, you know, Sheena says, how would you feel in 10 years' time if I ended up becoming friends with Sandoval again? And da, 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 da. And you know, Ariana said, look, this is just her paving the way because she's going to be friends with Sandoval again. We all know that. And they're just not being honest with each other at all. And Ariana, I don't think Ariana's friends with Sheena at all at the moment. And I don't think Lala is. I think Lala and Sheena are in their own team, living in Palm Springs next door to each other with their two kids. Lala's pregnant with her second child. I think Ariana is just planning her next move off to Chicago. And that's it, really. We then have this scene with Schwartz and, ooh, Spooky Joe. And they're going to Echo Park to go on the swans, which I've done a couple of times. It's very, very LA to do that. And they're going there, and she's, already, like, I told you my whole description of her last week. She's kind of quirky all the time and woo, always has crazy stories. And then she goes, I have a turtle story. Did I ever tell you my turtle story? And Schwartz is like, oh, of course you do, because you're just so quirky. Ugh. And then she tells a horrific story about her pet turtle that fell down a drain. If anybody else thought that was horrific, let me know, because I did. R.I.P. to that poor turtle. I think it was named Charlie. R.I.P. sweet turtle. And then she talks about meeting Ally. So she's going to go and meet Ally. And Schwartz is like, okay, okay. Schwartz, like I say, is so over her at this point. And I bet in present day, he doesn't have a lot to do with this Joe at all. Then we have this meeting, like all of them are going to the Belmont. And I don't know if they cut this in the episode, but I didn't know what it was in aid of. You know, usually they have some kind of false kind of pretense they set up of why we're all going to go out. We're all going out to reconnect. We're all going out because someone's birthday or something. But they just a ton of people plus all the side kind of characters were all at the Belmont. And once again, every time it's the Belmont, I see it, I just go, oh God, the Belmont. Because the Belmont is this. It's a cool bar and restaurant. It is. And it's on La Cienega in Los Angeles. And it was like the place to go. Like, I can't emphasize it enough. It was the place to go for your brunch and then partying well into the rest of Saturday and evening. Probably, I would say its peak was like 2010, 12, and I used to go there all the time. It's cool, it really is. But they constantly are going to the Belmont, and I think it's because it is, when you're filming, you know, I'm sure a lot of you know this, you need permits to film, you need to get clearance to film, and that can be really annoying. So in a lot of these shows, Housewives, Bravo shows, you see them constantly going back to places to film, and it's just because it is easy to get clearance there. And I think Belmont's one of them, so they are constantly there. But I'm not gonna lie, as soon as I saw it, I thought, I need to get back to the Belmont. So it's good advertising. So they're all kind of going there, and everyone's there. And then Ariana and Katie come in, and you see Tom and eyeing her, and she's, you know, Ariana says, I can feel his eyes burning into me. And you know, it's a reminder. Tom hates Ariana, and I don't use that word lightly. He hates her. And it's a common occurrence that the cheater will hate the person that's been cheated on them. And it's unfathomable, because it's, you did everything wrong, but he has seething anger for her. And it's a mix, I think, of a couple of things. A, because of all her success that she's got, right? But if this is a normal couple where, you know, the horrible ex has cheated and done terrible things to someone, they still hate them. And you're kind of thinking, why do you hate me? You're the one that's done everything wrong. And what it is, it's that you've held a mirror up, you've exposed them, and they've exposed themselves. And it's not due to them feeling badly about their actions. I think it's due to them looking at you and thinking, the person that's been cheated on, looking at you and going, you ruined this whole kind of nice guy persona I had. You ruined it because you made me cheat. Honestly, that's the mindset. It's fucked up, but I think it's accurate. And you see it in Tom. He despises Ariana. And so they're all kind of in the same room. And then we get this disgusting scene about Sandoval telling multiple people that he has to go to the toilet. Not going to get into that. It was disgusting, unnecessary, whatever. And they're at the bar. We do see, you know, Ally talking to the girls about how she's going to meet up with Joe. And she does use the word quirky, which sends me over the edge. Sends me over the edge. When anyone's described as quirky, they are usually, it's like when somebody, I've said this before, I will go to my grave saying it. When somebody will say, oh, everyone just thinks I'm crazy, they are the most boring person in the room. When someone says, everyone just tells me how funny I am, I'm really funny, they are the least funny person in the room. It is just a given. You do not, by saying it, you are making it untrue. It's just not true. It's just, do you think Larry David walks into a room and goes, I'm really funny? No, because he's Larry David and he doesn't need to do that. And it's like Joe. It's like, you know, she's constantly telling people how quirky and weird she is. No, she isn't. Once again, I will revert back to the story that I had about a guy that we had this friendship group back home in England. And one of these guys, his nickname was Mad Dave. Shout out Mad Dave if you're listening. And he was nicknamed Mad Dave because he was so boring. You know, it was just how it was. God bless him. He was a lovely guy. And Mad Dave, next time I'm back in England, let's meet up for a pint. But he was named Mad Dave because he was the most boring person in our group. And that's just how it goes, okay? Anyway, so Ariane and Katie are like, you're going to go meet her. Be careful, be careful. Joe's a cuckoo. Then we see, can we talk about the text? Do you know how many times I paused that to read it? Katie reveals that, you know, after the divorce was announced between her and Schwartz, Joe sent her the text, and we see the text, and it is spooky. It starts off with, Biba loves you, and I believe in your soul is pure, and all this just fucking nonsense. That's what it was. It was pure nonsense. And then she moves in with Schwartz like a week later. I mean, the word loyalty is just lost on so many people these days.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Anyway, and then Tom goes up to the bar and he orders a Red Bull on the rocks at the Belmont, and I'm just thinking, it's just 2010, a Red Bull on the rocks in the Belmont. And he's just furious and angry all the time, and we get, you know, Sheena coming up and doing the same old conversation we've seen about 15 times now, and then he storms out. Wah, wah, wah. We go over to this scene at Sheena's house in Marina Del Rey with her and Brock and Brock's thighs. Now, Brock's body is, and I'm laughing because I'm just trying to always get my eyes on it because I can't make it out. He was a rugby player, I believe. So very, very fit and built, and he looks a very fit and built guy. His thighs are constantly out. And I know Danny Pellegrino really, really appreciates it. I just can't stop staring at the width and the muscle, and it's just fascinating for me to stare at. He's going on again about, you know, first of all, he Summer Moon, who's such a little sweetie pie, draws a photo of a scary monster, and then Sheena says it's Sheena's self-portrait. Anyway, then he's going on again about the nanny and how she needs to let go and they need to have a nanny, and Sheena says, well, I can't because I don't have a regular schedule. And he says, yeah, you know, I mean, this schedule hasn't worked out for me either. And I'm thinking, what exactly do you do, Brock? The biggest question, it's like with the nanny in Sister Wives. What does the nanny do? What does Brock do? Answers on a postcard, please. And then Gabby, the nanny, comes over and they you know, she's going to look after Summer Moon. We see Tom in his workout room at the house working out. And then Katie comes over to see Ariana. And then Ariana gets a text from Anne that Sandoval's going to come down and make a drink and a smoothie. I mean, we could talk ad nauseum, and everybody has, about this living situation. It is just, you know, you understand why Ariana wouldn't want to move out, in the sense she put money into the home, it's her home, but it's full of turmoil and it's full of pain. She's living in that room with stuff piled everywhere. And when Tom comes down and speaks with Katie, it's very interesting, very interesting. And, you know, automatically he's making this shake. And this is always these type of guys and girls' reactions to, comes in, tries to apologize to Katie. And it's the second it's not received with, you're right, you're amazing, defensive and mean. She's like, what do you mean you can't fathom it? You think it's so unfathomable. And Katie says, you know, they're talking about cheating. Immediately comes in, he's like, you know, I'm such a good guy. I'm just going to apologize as I make my, you know, post-workout shake. And Katie's like, well, it means nothing. Immediately angry. Well, oh, hello, what, you think it's so unfathomable? Du-du-du-du. And it's just... And Katie says, I didn't want to be in a relationship anymore and I got out of it. I didn't cheat. And she's right. She never has. And it's disgusting. And then, you know, Tom says, I have a check that could be given to Ariana and she can move on. And Ariana apparently was hurting for money for a long... That whole thing blows my mind. It was down to her last $2,000 before Scandoval broke, which is mind-blowing. I'd love to get into the financials of that one day. I really would. So anyway, I don't know why she didn't. I do, and I don't know why she didn't take it, but it would have been better for her to take that cash and go. Then we have this stupid scene of Tom writing in his diary, which I'm just... I can't see another scene of that. I really can't. Schwartz comes over and... He, you know, and you see Sandoval looking at photos of him and Rachel. Look how happy we were. You were deceiving your girlfriend of a decade. And you're lamenting over these photos of what a beautiful relationship you were in with the girl you were cheating on for a couple of months. It's disgusting. And then he breaks down in the closet about how he just misses her so much. It makes no sense. So he's claiming at this current time, which is 3-4 months after Scandoval, that, you know, that he is so in love with Rachel. Rachel is the love of his life. He cannot imagine never seeing her again. Cut to a couple of months after that, he's just talking shit about her in the media and has never looked back. It's so disgusting. Never did you see any of that type of emotion of the sadness or love he had for Ariana. He got over her. And he got over her and he got over Rachel in a minute when it didn't suit him. He's disgusting. Then we get this scene now that everyone's talking about of being him comparing himself to Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson murdered his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child, Connor. Never forget what Scott Peterson did. And he's comparing himself. And Schwartz goes, didn't he murder his wife? And he goes, allegedly. You know, Scandoval, go into that closet and stay in it. Nobody wants you out. Nobody wants to see you anymore. Everyone's sick of you. And a comment like that does you no favors. We then have this, like, you know, games night that Cariana, that's a good name for Katie and Ariana. Katie and Ariana are hosting, and they do like this scene where, you know, they are all playing this like never have I ever kind of game. And one of them is about an orgy. And we get Sheena very obviously in her confessional say she was at an orgy with an A-list celebrity. And she said, let's just say my body was a wonderland. And, you know, as I said, I am calling for Sheena's sex book. We need her sex book. She has admitted herself she was with John Mayer. And I need to know about all the other people she was with. Because she's admitted she slept with a lot of well-known people. And I want names. I want a petition out there for her to name names, please. And Andy is, obviously, we all know Andy's best mates with John Mayer. Why are we not getting a Watch What Happens Live with John Mayer and Sheena? That would be as good as gold. It would be heaven. It would be absolutely heaven. Then we see there's a return of someone, guys. We see that Schwartz gets a text from Mr. Jason Couchy, whatever his name was. And Jax is back and he's going to meet up with the boys. Joe has a reading. Joe has a reading with Ali. And Ali says that her thing or one of her signs is in we call it in the haunted house. And it's like, yeah, that's because she's spooky. And she claims it's because she has psychic ability or something like that. She does say that Schwartz is purely friend material. And then Joe just withers away and because she's completely wanting to be with Schwartz. And Ali says, oh, but you know, friends can make lovers too. And she's like, oh, yeah. Then we get to Tom Tom, and it is Jamesy Boy, Sandoval, Schwartz, Brock, and we get Jax. He walks in, and it was so good. They film him from the back walking through Tom Tom, and there's a girl that just goes, oh, you see her face as he walks in. And I mean, you know, before he came in, they were speaking about their old times in WeHo, and then we got all the playback, and it was such good times, man. Those lads, the fights they had were amazing. The drunken escapades they had were amazing. It even made, you know, I looked at it, I thought, should I go back and start at the very beginning of VPR? Because it was such golden reality TV. It really was. And so he comes in and he sits down and then just goes straight into Sandoval. He's like, God, I'm looking, I'd never ask your advice on opening a bar. You look like you were 50 years old. And three, you're a disgrace. I mean, he killed it. He killed it. Thank you, Jax. I'm not going to lie. I'm really happy to see Jax back. I can't believe I said it. I'm really happy. He's a monster. And God bless that monster. So VPR this week, I was happy seeing Jax and a lot of the flashbacks. But I honestly think VPR is surviving a lot on flashbacks. I feel like this whole season has just been flashbacks. And let's get into our new show, The Valley. So admittedly, I wasn't looking forward to The Valley. I know I had spoken quite a bit of rubbish about The Valley, and I will say I was pleasantly surprised. I think mainly it's because Jax and Kristen are back, guys. Jax and Kristen. And with coming off VPR and watching it and pining for the days when Kristen and Jax were watching Drive, if you know what I mean, and all of that insanity, to see them again, it made me happy. It made me happy. The rest of them, I have no clue who any of these people are. Ryan Bailey posted a thing on his Instagram that was like, I know two people's names on this or something like that. And I wrote in the comment section, yeah, I mean, my notes for my pod are literally pregnant girl and short guy who records voiceovers in his closet. And it's getting a ton of likes. And it's because it's true. I could not get these names. They need to, like, I think it was Ryan Bailey said they need to wear name tags or something, and it's true because I don't know who any of these people are. But of course we open with Brittany and Jax, and you know, you got to be careful in life about being smug about your circumstances. When it's good, fantastic, enjoy it and love it, but don't ever be smug or complacent, because Jax is basically telling the world that his life is absolutely perfect. He's like, I've got money in the bank, I'm opening a bar, I've got a healthy child, I've got a great wife, and look at where he is now. It's falling apart, his marriage. We see Brittany and Jax, and Brittany has got some contraption around her face, and it's because she got lipo on her chin. Just gonna leave that there. They're in their Valley Village. So Jax is basically looks the same. And he's still got that underlying rage that you always are waiting for it to just pop off with Jax, always. And Brittany's still her Kentucky, running around the house, being a little Kentucky muffin. I'm so sorry about it. And you know, my accent work, I love it. I love to do my accent work. It does not mean that it is good. So I do apologize, but I love it. We see Kristen. Kristen is back. And she, okay, the comments I have on her boyfriend, I listen, guys, I really am trying to be kind. I do not want the pod to be just filled with me saying very hateful things against people, because I'm not a hateful person. I want love, I want kindness, I want joy, I want fluff, I want puff, and I want reality shows. Having said that, Luke. Now, it's a hard look. That's okay. That's I think is all I'm gonna go to. So Kristen explains to us that, I mean, I follow Kristen on Instagram. I've never known anyone in my life to have had as many boyfriends as Kristen. I mean, just from what we've seen on VPR, she had so many men. And I'm not slut shaming her about sleeping with people. I'm saying relationships is just nuts. I mean, I know, like, her age and my age are quite similar, and her relationships, she has had so many. And then I remember her with this guy that she speaks about, and about her ex-boyfriend. I remember seeing him, and he was some real estate dude who he looked like he loved to party a ton. And we find out, this is so Kristen and so awful, that she was with this ex, and he convinced her, she had a lovely house in Valley Village, and he convinced her to sell the house and move in with him. And then, of course, they broke up months later, and now she's in an apartment. And that is just so, so Kristen. Because it's like she just put everything in on a guy and believed a guy like 100% and did what he wanted and messed up. But it's okay, because she went, after breaking up with him, she went to a wedding 2 weeks later, met Luke. They had sex behind, what did she say, behind a shed or a dumpster? I may have added dumpster in. I don't know. They had sex behind something. And now they're in a relationship. Immediately in a relationship. It is bizarre. It is bizarre. And he lives in Colorado, as he tells us, 99% of the time. And they're trying to have a baby. How any of that makes sense? It doesn't. But it is. It makes perfect sense with Kristen. It's Kristen chaos. And I love it. Luke does not fit in at all. We see him go and play this golf with Jax and these other guys. So there's Nia and Daniel. Daniel is the short guy, actor, voiceover in closet. They have Zariah. They have like three kids, I think. Jason and Janet. Janet's pregnant. They've been together 4 years, married for one, and she's pregnant. We have Jesse and Michelle, who apparently have already announced their divorce or separation. They're in real estate. They live behind Chateau Marmont on Sunset. And the husband never once woke up with a baby the entire time they had the child. Lovely. Zach is the best friend of Brittany from Gnug. Now his look. We're doing very dark hair dye. And a lot of fake tan. And I'm okay with that. You know what? I love that look. I love it for Zach. I appreciate it. We have Jasmine, who all we know about Jasmine so far is that she worked at Sir. And that's it. So that's the cast of characters, I believe. One of my lines here is Luke is a bizarro. He lives in Colorado and looks about 50. That's it. I'm not going to say anything more about Luke, but that's it. Jax hates Luke, which I really enjoy. I really enjoy that. He doesn't even know his last name. They're doing this golfing thing, and Luke's like, have you unblocked me yet? And Jax is like, oh, did I block you? I mean, it's really good. It's really good. They are going to have a party for Janet's birthday. And, you know, I don't really have a ton of notes, because I was just wanted to be in it. You know, I wanted to be in it and watching it. But I will tell you essentially what this show, The Valley, is about. Is multiple people saying how much becoming parents has ruined their life. That's all that I think The Valley is about. And it's really a warning for people. It's just constantly people saying how miserable they are being parents. We see that, you know, Brittany hosts from Gnug. She hosts this party for Janet. And it's all carnival themed and stuff like that. And it's like 100 degrees or something. It really makes me upset watching it. And I live near these people, but so I know that heat. And then we see Lala's there. And we have this whole thing with Kristen talking about wanting to get pregnant. And Jax is the one essentially saying, you're not ready. You don't know what it's like. I can tell you, I've been through it all, which he has. But taking advice from Jax is a choice. This Jesse guy gives me the full on creeps. He, you know, says that weird statement to Lala about her being his mistress. It's just, I don't know. And then we have Jax pulling down, whose shorts was it? Was it Jesse's shorts? And then the wife ends up crying. No, because she's pregnant. So it must have been, no, she's breastfeeding. I think it was Nia and Daniel. I'm sorry if these names are all going to be wrong for a couple of weeks. But I mean, overall, I don't have a ton of notes because, like I say, I just wanted to be in it. I'm more hopeful for it than I was. I really like the messiness of Kristen in it, and I really like the messiness of her relationship in it. That's what we love about watching Kristen, and I love seeing Jax's rage. You know, that's all I can say about the Valley. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to next week's episode. I'll say much more than Vanderpump Rules. All right, guys, I'm going to love you and leave you. Those are my thoughts on VPR and the Valley. I will be back next Friday to go over it again. But in the meantime, I'm going to have a Patreon out later today, this Friday, available only to our Patreon members. And that is going to be the coverage of the documentary, The Disappearance of Natalie Holloway. Once again, it is $5 a month to go and join our Patreon. And there is a backlog. You're not just going to get what I'm releasing now. There's a backlog of, I can't even tell you how many shows, many, many shows that we've recorded, covering weird and wild documentaries about cults, unsolved murders, UFOs, paranormal experiences, pop culture, plus a ton of shows where we covered 90 Day Fiancé UK. There's so much material there, and it's only $5 a month. If you sign up today, you're going to get access to everything. The way to find it in our show notes, click on Patreon, join us there. It's going to be great. And it's going to be great. Listen to me. Wow, I'm really selling it, aren't I? It's going to be great. And then follow us on Instagram, Tender Loving Care Podcast. As always, I read every single DM and respond to every single one because I love chatting with you. You can email us at tenderlovingcarepod@gmail.com. I love you. I'm going to be back with our Patreon members in a few hours, but Tuesday, I will be back with you with 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. In the meantime, have a beautiful day, a wonderful weekend. Write me lots of lovely messages, and I will see you guys soon. Bye-bye.